Welcome to Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor, where conversations explore the inner frontier. What is it I can say I know and why? Who am I really? Is there such a thing as free will? How does the human mind differ from the programmed artificial intelligence being built today? How is thinking and destiny connected? Is mind really capable of being our best healer or our worst slayer? Where does the world of shoes and ships and sealing wax leave off and the mind begin? These are just some of the questions Eldon and his guest take on in this next fascinating hour. You won't want to miss any of it. And now, here's your host of Mind Matters, Eldon Taylor.
Welcome to Mind Matters, where for the next hour, our subject is the mind, matters of the mind, and whether any of it really matters at all. We're introducing a new aspect to our show today, and it's something I call news briefs. Formerly, it was a regular feature of my electronic newsletter. Since the newsletter often deals with larger articles, the news briefs frequently enter the edited for space file. So I'm going to move them to the radio show. You can subscribe to my newsletter. It's absolutely free by going to eldontaylor.com, and I invite you to do so. So, okay, now with that introduction, let's do some Mind Matters news. My research, or new research, confirms the fact that laughter is often the best medicine. My research confirms that, too. Mirth eases stress and even reduces chronic pain. If you're old enough to remember, Norman Cousins healed himself of cancer using laughter. He didn't understand why he should have cancer, since he was not a smoker or a drinker, or in any other known way, a cancer risk. His physician suggested that stress itself might have contributed to his illness. Cousins concluded that if stress could cause disease, then its opposite should promote health and healing. For weeks, he spent hours every day watching comedic movies, such as those old Laurel and Hardy or the Three Stooges episodes, and sure enough, his cancer disappeared. Now, in a brand new book called Laughing Matters by Steve Ion, we also learn that humor is good for your sex life as well. So put a smile on your face today. In another new study led by research psychologist Boaz Kaiser at the University of Chicago, we learned that people punish one another for stinginess more than they reward one another for generosity. What's more, if there is a taking from a participant, the participants in the study judged the taker inordinately harsher, even if the taker had given them much more money than they later took. All of this reminds me of a book by Machiavelli called The Prince. In his work, the ruler-to-be is coached to be stingy as opposed to generous, for generosity will inevitably lead to resentment by the public, since they see the generosity as the ruler's use of their taxes. Does that remind you of anything in our current news? It's no wonder there are so many mini tea parties happening all over our country. Okay, one more news brief for this show, and we'll get on with my guest. Do you know what the most distinguishing feature by way of face recognition is? It's your nose. When you're trying to recognize a face, the first thing you look at is the nose. So say the researchers at University of California, San Diego. They found that most people look just left of the nose, then to the center of the nose, and then to the eyes and facial identification task. It's the good old snozola, as the great comedian Jimmy Durante used to say. So make sure your nose is looking clean next time you go out. All right, my guest today is Deborah Sanders. Deborah is the author of the wonderful book, A Matter of Panache. Deborah is an outstanding educator, a school psychologist, and champion of the student, especially the underprivileged. Her book is one of the most riveting stories I have ever read. The story is both compelling, drawing you in very quickly and keeping you on the edge of your seat, and emotionally moving, sometimes so much so that putting it down for a moment or two is really not a bad idea. The book retells the story of the author who lost much of her memory and ability to think as a result of head injuries suffered in an automobile accident. There is a particularly dramatic set of passages in the book that really moved me, where Deborah informs the reader that she had to speak to people she once had relationships with, just to find out, just to ask them what had happened. Now, think about that for a minute. Imagine that you remember a relationship with some significant other, but maybe your memory leaves off 10 years or 3 years before the relationship ended. In fact, imagine your memory leaves off following a wonderful, loving exchange between the two of you, and yet, since that time, that relationship has ended. Imagine having to ask what happened and somehow getting your feelings to square with your head. Who are we if we wake up one morning and know little of ourselves? If you're like me, you will read this book with every free moment until you reluctantly close it, knowing that somehow you were just touched in a way that may take a very long time for you to fully realize, but nevertheless deeply touched. It's a truly inspiring book. And let me say this in person before we begin. I want to thank you, Deborah, for the courage it takes to be so honest and to share so candidly, and welcome you to the show.
Wow. Thank you for all of that, Eldon.
Oh, it's indeed my pleasure.
That's very moving. I mean, that what you just said about who are we if not our memories is something that I can talk long about.
Well, you can give us some real insight there, and I'm really looking forward to that. But before we start, you know, for the purposes of our audience, your book makes it clear that you walked away from this accident unaware that there was anything wrong. Kind of, you know, like Natasha Richardson recently, you got up.
Yep.
Fortunately, it wasn't, you know, Natasha Richardson's situation, but you got up, you walked away, and you didn't know that anything had happened, that there was any kind of real damage. Tell us about the accident and that whole process, will you?
Sure. My accident was in an automobile. It was very, very early in the morning, and I had a meeting at a school about 60 miles from where I live and where my home-based office was. This is in southeast Utah, and I had to drive through the canyon to get to where I was going, and I was very tired. And I knew I was tired, and I did all the things I think we all do when we get behind the wheel of a car and we're tired. I had coffee. I had the radio on. I was singing out loud. I opened the window. I got 10 miles is as far as I remember. And 12 miles beyond that, I'm upside down and my truck is totaled. And I don't have recollection of driving through the canyon, and I do not recall rolling, although I'm absolutely have been convinced all this time that I didn't roll, but of course I did. I was seatbelted in, so what happened was my head, really, with all that rolling in the truck, my brain ricocheted inside my skull. I was never hit. I had no bumps. I had no bruises. They did have to bust me out of the truck, and I said, I have to go. I have to get to that school for that meeting. I'm going to be late. And they said that by this time there was lots of paramedics there and an ambulance, and it happened that my boss, passed me on his way to work, so he was really, really scared. And he said, "You're not going anywhere. You're going to the hospital." And I said, "I don't need to go to the hospital. I'm fine. I'm fine," which is, I'm sure, what Natasha Richardson did. I'm sure she got up from however she fell, and she didn't want people to make a fuss because you feel silly. And so eventually, I mean, I agreed I would go to the hospital. They took me in an ambulance, and I do remember this. I remember saying to the paramedic, "I'm fine. This is silly taking me in the ambulance. The only weird thing is my head." And he said, "Your head?" And I said, "Yeah, it feels weird, like I'm wearing a ponytail on top of it that's pulled too tight, or like it's like somebody's got a rubber band wrapped around it. It's just kind of a weird feeling. That was the only thing that I experienced. I got to the hospital, and I was very lucky in that, unlike Natasha Richardson, they didn't take no for an answer. You know, they did make me go to the hospital, and they did take a CAT scan. And I did not have any bleeding in my brain, which she did. And so they said, you're great, go home. I had bruises from the seatbelt and bruises on the bottom of my feet from I had been trying to kick my way out of the windshield. And so there were bruises on the bottom of my feet. That was it. And they said I was fine. Just take it easy for a couple days. So I went home. That was on a Monday. I got home about 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Monday. And the next thing I remember is going into work on Wednesday. And I felt like somebody had removed my brains and stuffed me full of cotton. I mean, I couldn't complete a thought in my head to save my life. And I sat down and I was trying to add some simple numbers. And I could not add them. I mean, it was a line of numbers, but simple ones like 5 plus 3 plus 4 plus 2. I could not. I started using my fingers. I was trying to count on my fingers. I could not add those numbers. And I mean, it was a terrifying feeling. It was like, what is wrong with my head? So they took me back to the hospital and they kept me under observation at that point.
Were they ever able, Deborah, to actually identify damage to the brain?
You know, not then, no. And I think I've since learned, you know, it'll be 6 years since the accident next week. And in these 6 years, I've learned so much. And especially the book, I'm just so touched by the many, many, many people who have written me their stories and told me of their experiences. And it's really unfortunate that there is still a tremendous misconception about concussions. That, you know, concussions, you go home, you rest for 48 hours, don't sleep, and you'll be fine. What is very common, in fact, with concussions is that it takes several days to several weeks to possibly even a month for all the symptoms to start showing up, which is exactly what happened with mine. I kept getting worse instead of better, and I thought that I must just be such a baby, you know, because they told me, you'll be fine in a couple of days, and every day there was something new that was wrong. I couldn't brush my teeth and think about what I was going to make for breakfast. I couldn't do that.
This affected memory, cognitive, and motor skills.
You know what? My motor skills were not affected, except in that when you look at your whole sensory integration system, you have something called proprioception, which is kind of like your, well, you know this, but everybody might not, your position in space, judging it, and mine is way off, still is. I'm constantly running into things and misjudging where the wall ends or what, you know, tripping. And I mean, I wasn't graceful before, but I'm even less so now. But no motor skills. What was very affected was my memory and is my memory. Judgment, my ability, I get very locked into, and I saw this with kids, you know, that I had worked with kids for years with head injuries. And one of the things I used to teach them were strategies to compensate for the fact that they no longer could stand back and see the big picture. They had one idea in their mind and that was it, and they'd get rooted in it. And I've seen that over and over and over again in myself. Irritability, and I've heard that from now so many military families. People do not make the association of the irritability with the head injury, but it is absolutely connected. Mood swings, disorganization, and fatigue. The fatigue is the fatigue is unbelievable. It's just something you have to battle constantly.
But now, Deborah, what you're describing is an absolutely horrifying, frightening experience. I think anybody out there in the audience that would think about, you know, the possibility of having to live through what you have lived through would say, thank you, no thank you, in a real hurry. And yet you say the accident was a pivotal point in your life, something that was really important to you.
Well, it was, Eldon. I mean, and anybody that, you know, would be listening to this that would think about how horrifying it was, is I was terrified. I mean, I depended on my brain, on my intellect, all my life. And I was very successful at what I did. And more than that, more than successful, you know, in terms of how other people saw it, it really, my role as an educational psychologist, the relationships I had with children and with teachers and with their families defined who I was. I mean, I had done this for more than 20 years. So, you know, Deborah Sanders was, if somebody says, you know, who are you? I think I probably would have answered it with what I do. I mean, they were very interconnected. And after the accident, well, the first thing is, and this is, I suspect, very common to people, but you want to share how very muddled your thinking is. You want somebody to know. But when you try to explain that, because people are very kind and they want to make you feel better, and they tend to say, oh, shoot, we all have memory problems. Geez, I went to the store last night and I forgot what I went to get. And that's very difficult because it isn't at all like that. I mean, it's like being in this dark, frightening hole that you are terrified that you're never going to come out of. And you can't really explain it to people because they want to help you. They want to fix you and make it not bad. And the people who don't want to, who are willing to listen, unless they're able to just say, my gosh, that must be scary, you really don't want to tell them because it's horrifying. And so you're at the same time that you want to talk about it, you don't want anyone to know just exactly how muddled your thinking is, just how much you're not getting. And part of what drives us, you know, part of what keeps all of us going is that sense of connectedness to other people, to ourselves, the sense of control, that we're in control of what we do in our lives when we get up. I mean, obviously we have parameters we have to work within, but we still have a sense of control. And we have a sense of being competent. You know, we're competent in what we do. And if we don't have those things, then we usually suffer psychologically or emotionally. Well, I had those things before the accident. And suddenly every one of them was gone.
Well, I can tell you've got most of them back, and I'm not telling you that by way of humor. If you don't have it all back, we have to do a commercial break.
Okay.
But when we come back, let's pick it up on competence, connectedness, control. Those are, I think you call that the three C's.
Okay.
And and if you think about that, listening audience out there, what happens if tomorrow suddenly those three have disappeared? You're listening to Mind Matters on Contact Talk Radio, KRWM 106.9 on your FM high definition channel 3 dial. I'm your host, Eldon Taylor. And I invite you to join us. Call us with your comments, your questions. Talk to Deborah at 1-877-230-3062. Or you can log on into our chat room with your questions and comments. Just go to ctrchat.com. Do it while we're at commercial and you won't miss any of the show. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Hay House, the publisher that has revolutionized the industry, brings you Choices and Illusions, the riveting New York Times bestseller by Eldon Taylor. How did I get where I am and how do I get where I want to be? Questions we all ask ourselves. Choices and Illusions brings you the answers. Learn how choices are made for you without your knowledge, how you are programmed to sabotage your own goals, and why success so often eludes you. Learn to rewrite the most powerful influence in your life, your subconscious mind. John Edward, host of the Crossing Over Show, says, read this book. We are living at a time when people are searching for answers in their lives. This book can be, if applied, a roadmap to personal enlightenment and empowerment. I believe it can tune in the frequency you are currently operating on. More importantly, it helps you to see that you can manifest a change. Get your copy today. Buy it online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or get it at your local bookstore.
By special arrangement, Eldon has made available his best-selling Essential Pillars of Success at unheard-of savings. The principles and essential pillars have worked for thousands of people around the world and are guaranteed to work for you. Essential Pillars of Success consists of 9 programs on 8 CDs and comes with a book that explains how and why it's so easy to self-sabotage our best efforts and provides a roadmap for correcting those thought patterns and beliefs. It also includes a booklet teaching the learning strategies involved in choosing the programs or scripts that run through your mind. The entire mind conditioning set normally sells for $243.50, but is yours today for only $88. Plus, you will receive hundreds of dollars in bonus tools to further assist you. Call 1-800-964-3551 today for details.
Plan to attend the ICANN conference in San Diego from April 30th to May 3rd. Everyone is talking about Hay House's ICANN events. Don't be left out. Get your tickets early. This 2-day event features leading visionaries from around the world. A short list includes your Mind Matters host, Eldon Taylor, plus Wayne Dyer, Louise Hay, Christiane Northrup, Sonia Choquette, Greg Braden, Joan Z. Borisenko, Colette Baron Reed, Bruce H. Lipton, Deborah King, John Holland, and Robert Holden, to name but a few. In all, you will have the opportunity to meet and hear 37 of today's best-selling authors. For more information and or to get your tickets now, visit hayhouse.com. Enjoy spiritual nourishment for your soul.
And now, back to Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor, bringing a bold new face to age-old questions. Join the discussion by calling toll-free 1-877-230-3062.
Welcome back. You're listening to Contact Talk Radio. The show's Mind Matters. I'm Eldon Taylor, your host. My guest today is Deborah Sanders, and we're talking about her amazing book, her amazing life, A Matter of Panache. Before break, we had just discussed 3 C's, as Deborah calls them, competence, connectedness, and control. And the point that she was making is, imagine that one day you wake up and those 3 elements of your life have been severed. They disappear. You no longer feel that you're in control. You no longer feel that you have a level of competence. You no longer feel that there is a connectedness between you and anyone else, maybe even the time of day. And a lot of people, we were discussing this, Deborah, during the break, a lot of people deal with these kinds of issues as a result of concussions that go undiagnosed. And I know one of your real concerns now as a result of your accident, one of your causes is to bring more attention to that so that there is better care. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that, Eldon, because I think one of the hardest things for me through the first probably 4 years post-accident was that I kept thinking there was something wrong with me. Because although I have what's called post-concussion syndrome, it's not that uncommon. But nobody in the medical field, until I finally got to a neurologist, had told me about that. So for the first, first 9 months maybe, I just kept thinking there was something. I couldn't work. I couldn't go back to work. I couldn't handle light. I couldn't handle noise. I slept 20 hours a day. And I kept thinking that I was just not kind of bucking up. And I've heard this from a number of people who have talked with me or written me, that that was very similar to their experience, and that they're not getting the information from the medical community that these are things to, that you can expect, and this is how you can deal with them. So I feel it's very important, especially now with, we're a very active, society. And, we've got kids snowboarding. We've got kids skiing. We've got kids riding their bikes. And a helmet is not going to prevent a concussion. The helmet will do a lot to prevent a skull fracture, but not a concussion. And we also, I think, cheer kids on. I have this big thing, right, about kids in sports in elementary and high school, because we tend to cheer them on when they take a fall. They take, a knock to the head. They get up. They go back on the field. And we all support that. And in fact, those kinds of things are what lead to post-concussion syndrome, because repeated concussions are one of the top things that will predict that you're going to have long-term effects from the concussion. I had had a concussion, a very mild one, almost a year to the day before the accident.
Now, how do you know that, Deborah?
You know what? That's a good question, Eldon, and I can answer it, too, because the only reason I know it is because I was going through records for, I can't remember why, but I had to go through all these medical records, and I came across the record of the concussion, which I had not even remembered, and the date of it.
Now, the earlier concussion, do you have access, or do you know,
yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Happened?
I was at school, and I was working with some very, very challenging children and quite explosive children, and so I was doing a lot with videotaping. We were doing a lot of very interesting things with videotaping, and I had put the entire video with a big cam. This wasn't, one of the nice compact ones. I put it on the top of my cabinet when I finished with it, and walked a child back down to their classroom, came back in, opened my cabinet to get something, and that whole thing just dropped on my head. I saw stars. The only time in my life I've seen stars. I mean, from taking a knock. And I felt terribly nauseous, and I threw up. And I went to the clinic. This was in a very remote village in Alaska, very remote. And they said, you have a concussion, and you need to not do anything active, and we want to see you again tomorrow. I was fine. I mean, by the next day, I had no dizziness, no nausea, no headache, nothing. I was absolutely fine. That's the kind of concussion I think most people associate with the word concussion.
I know it'd be impossible to say. And we have a question that I need to turn to that's coming out of our chat room, but do you feel that your situation was exacerbated as a result of having this earlier concussion?
Absolutely. And it was also exacerbated by a couple other things. I've since, studied a lot about this, because I've been amazed by really how common my story is. Not how unusual, but how common. And one of the things that I found is there's tremendous, if you have a history of learning disabilities or depression, ADD, attention deficit disorders, any kind of where you kind of be called sort of maybe neurologically fragile, you're just a little bit out of sync. That is a huge predictor of post-concussion syndrome. And I recently read that even if somebody in your family is the one, like if your mother had, experienced depression, or your father. Well, in my case, my mother did experience depression. depression, and my father was severely attention deficit. Severely. And I was, too. It's just that before the accident, it worked in my favor. Do you want me to elaborate on that?
No. Yeah, I do, but there's so many things coming at me here at one time. I've got to ask you this. Angela in our chat room wants to ask you, what could friends and family have done to assist you at this time? And was there anything they could have done to make things easier for you?
Oh, Angela, I am so glad you asked that question. Yes, yes, yes. I would say the very first thing is to recognize that it does seem to minimize it for the person when one tries to comfort somebody by saying, oh, we all have memory problems. And that has, I've heard that from just about everybody that has contacted me, because I talk about that in the book a little bit, that was so frustrating for them because it's terrifying. It's not like the regular kind of just forgetfulness or even menopausal forgetfulness. You know, it's very different. The other thing is, I worry for our military families, so many people now that are coming back, and if families don't understand, they need to understand the extreme fatigue that the brain is experiencing. Everything. It's like now most of what we do is automatic. You know, we don't think about that it's light outside or what kind of light's in this room or the noise. We can have a conversation with someone, and if somebody is having a conversation outside the room, we usually don't think about it. After the accident, everything. I describe it in the book as it's like I woke up every day with a cup of pennies. And everything cost. And this is, Angela, directly to your question, this is what I would hope families can understand. Everything costs. Laughing with your kids, talking with your spouse, getting up and brushing your teeth, every one of them costs. And when the pennies are done, when the cup is empty, there's no way to refill it except for your brain to shut down. I think that's why so many of us, sleep for 18, 19 hours, because the brain, if you're not going to take care of it, it's going to do it for you. It must have no stimulation. So it's very hard, I think, on families, because just simple conversation and chatter can really wear somebody out.
Deborah, I have to ask you this, and I don't mean to, bring any hardship.
That's okay.
How on earth did you cope with the loss of memories with respect to significant people in your life, and then, getting together with them as you describe and clarifying what happened?
Okay. Well, I was involved. I had an interesting experience in that I had been working with a man for the accident happened in April, and he and I had been working in the same school since January, and we did some hikes together, and he enjoyed my dogs. We didn't know each other real well, but we liked each other, and we worked very well together. On the day of the accident, he was driving to the same place I was to go to that meeting. And he saw my truck, and he thought I was dead. He just assumed, looking at the truck, that I was dead. And it tore him up. So, that said, when he found out I wasn't dead, he kind of told me about all these feelings that he had kept to himself. And he became my lifeline. He's very quiet spoken. He's very gentle. And every day, because I couldn't work, I couldn't do anything, every day he would come over and we would just sit. And we didn't have music. I mean, he was just, kind of goes back to Angela's question, He didn't fuss over me, but he talked with me. And he let me talk about how confused I felt. felt. So gradually, over time, that developed into a relationship. And that relationship lasted a couple of years. And then it wasn't there anymore. And when I was writing in the book, and there was a point where I needed to mention Denny because it played a role in what was happening, I thought I had no idea why did we ever split up? Why did we ever go separate ways? And I wrote him, and I told him I didn't know, and he was so shocked. And it took him a while. I mean, that really was really hard. And he said he would tell me, but he just needed to think on it. And so he ended up writing me through emails what had happened between us. And then, interestingly enough, I saw him not too long ago, and we were talking. And he told me that, he said, "Do you remember that we talked about getting married?" And I was stunned. I mean, I did not know what to say. I went, "Married? No, we did?" He said, "Oh, yeah, Deborah." He said, we were very close. I have no memory of that.
Such a story. We have to take a commercial break. You're listening to Contact Talk Radio. I'm Eldon Taylor. The show is Mind Matters. My guest today is Deborah Sanders. We're talking about her real-life experience that she had the courage to put into a book, The Matter of Panache, a wonderful, wonderful book. We welcome your calls. Join us, please, if you will, 877-230-3062, or sign on to ctrchat.com. Get into the chat room and send your questions that way. We'll be right back after these commercial messages.
You've heard of subliminal messages as used to sell you goods, ideas, even politicians. But did you know there is a patented and scientifically demonstrated effective CD series known as InnerTalk? InnerTalk can motivate and teach your subconscious in ways that can release stress, restore confidence, and build a new you. Millions of users worldwide have turned to InnerTalk as the antidote for all the negative messaging that most of us get every day. Think about it. Play your CD in the background while you do other things, and all the while your subconscious mind is being trained. Maybe you want to lose weight, or maybe you have difficulty in your relationships, or maybe you think of the maybe and ask yourself, "What could I do if I believe that I could do anything and not fail?" Go to their website and get their free catalog today at innertalk.com or call toll-free 1-800-964-3551. Remember, InnerTalk, when believing in yourself matters.
Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor is brought to you in part by InnerTalk, the patent and proven audio technology that makes change easy from the inside out. When you're ready for change, you want InnerTalk. You can succeed and you can begin today. Lose weight. Stop smoking. Enhance relationships. Be a better parent. Increase memory. End procrastination. Realize your goals and so much more. Hundreds of titles to choose from. Inner Talk, when believing in yourself matters. Check it out today at www.innertalk.com or phone for a free catalog at 1-800-964-3551. Again, for more information and that free catalog, call them at 1-800-964-3551.
And now, back to Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor, bringing a bold new face to age-old questions. Join the discussion by calling toll-free 1-877-230-3062.
Mind Matters. Matters with Eldon Taylor is brought to you in part by the Mind Mint, the self-improvement superstore. MindMint.com offers hundreds of books, audio and video programs, subliminal and hypnosis technologies, software, biofeedback, and much more, all designed with your success in mind. Proven programs to help in almost all situations and walks of life, from the practical to the spiritual. Go to www.mindmint.com, your complete one-stop self-improvement superstore. Once again, that's www.mindmint.com.
Welcome back to Mind Matters. I'm Eldon Taylor. My guest today is Deborah Sanders, and we've been talking about her book, A Matter of Panache, which is really a story of her life. And if you've been listening, you've got to have been touched, just as I have. And at this point in time, you have to ask, Deborah, what on earth, how, after all of this, did you manage to get yourself back, to get your, you know, to retrain? The idea, everything that you've told me, I think, how could this woman have possibly written that book? I think, what did you do to get yourself centered again to where, you know, you had some sense, at least, of competence, some sense of control and connectedness, to use your terms? What did you do?
It was very hard. It was for a long time. It was very, very difficult. For one thing, I couldn't think clearly. And there were other effects from the accident. After 9 months, I did go back to work. And I had always been a very, very passionate advocate for kids with special needs, and that we do the right things for them within the educational system, and that we don't shortchange them or their families. And I had always been very successful at doing that. When I went back to work, I was not successful doing that, but I didn't know why. I mean, I was suddenly, like, engaged in conflict and chaos. It seemed like every corner I turned. I did not see the behavioral changes in me. I did not see the irritability. I did not see that, well, it's, you know, a matter of panache. I mean, I just didn't see that I didn't have it. And so it was like passion without panache is a great recipe for disaster. I just thought everybody just wasn't up to snuff. And I didn't understand why things were happening for children that were not in children's best interest. And that was in Utah, and it became horribly painful, terrible situation. And it kind of polarized the community, actually, because all the kids, I mean, and all the families just were so supportive of me, and they loved me, and I loved them. But then the right things weren't happening for kids. It got very complicated. I left. I came to Colorado, and the situation repeated itself. And I thank my mom for this. When I was a little girl, I have an older brother, and I can remember when I'd go crying to her, and, you know, my brother beat me up, and she'd say, "Honey, it takes two to tango." And somewhere I think that just resonated deeply within me. And when this situation repeated itself, I thought, I have to have a role in this. What is my piece of this? I mean, what happened is utterly explosive. What happened here in Colorado at Fort Carson at the middle school, it's explosive. It's hard to believe that it happened. And I absolutely fell apart. I mean, I had competence, connectedness, control. If I had gotten a little bit of it back, it blew wide open. And I never, never intended to write a book. I was out of work after a 25-year successful career. I had no income. I was very confused. And I did what I've always done, which is I wrote. I journaled. I talked to myself using words on paper for 3 months. And I was going to keep doing that until I figured out what my peace was. And eventually I did figure out my peace, and I did understand where I was a different person. And once I saw that, then it was a matter of rebuilding. If I'm no longer Deborah Sanders, the educational psychologist that loves children and that children love, who am I? And then it's just a matter of, I guess.
I'm going to have to bring you to that. I'm going to bring you right back to that question, who am I? But
yeah.
You are so perfectly timed right now for the question that Claire has for
oh,
you.
Oh, good.
Out of our chat room, that I want you to answer this one. Claire says, hi, Deborah. You are very brave. I cannot imagine going through the stuff you had to go through. How do you stop yourself being angry with God for having let this happen to you? Is there a silver lining anywhere in this?
Claire, that's the name of chapter. One of my chapters is The Silver Lining. That is just such a good question, and I hope I can answer that. A couple of things, Claire, and anybody else out there that's listening to this. You know, first of all, the truth is you would go through it. You could go through it because you don't really have a choice. I mean, you do if you want to think about taking a big exit, but otherwise you really don't. You don't have a choice. So the choice becomes, how are you going to do it? Not, are you going to do it? And I have always been a very, very firm believer, and I think this helped me a lot. It is absolutely a part of who I am to believe that no matter what happens to me, it's a lesson. I'm supposed to get a lesson out of it, supposed to learn something. And a lot of what I did was look at, okay, I'm obviously a slow learner here. What's the lesson I'm not getting? And I just kept digging. I just kept digging and digging and writing and writing and writing. I could have talked about that for 100 years to myself or to someone else, and I don't think I would have understood as I did just letting myself free write. And then, like I said, it's just still baby steps, you know, little by little by little.
So,
and it was hard, but
no,
yeah.
Go ahead, Deborah. So
no,
little by little.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to, it's the brave part, I think. It's not anything more than just being brave enough to ask yourself the question.
But so what would you say, then, is the silver lining?
Oh, the silver lining is, oh my goodness, this is the silver lining, Eldon and Claire, Angela, anybody who's out there, is the relationships that this has brought into my life, the people that have touched my heart, you know, with their stories. My own, I mean, I was empathetic before, but it doesn't even compare to what I understand now about people who are dealing with Alzheimer's or stroke, or whose mothers have had a stroke and they have to reestablish their relationship. I mean, there's so many silver linings.
So let me see if I have this straight. The crusader that you once were as a child psychologist for, especially for these children, and we could do a whole show on that.
Yeah.
That were disadvantaged and/or taken advantage of. You know, from that, you're now your cause is now helping people that have suffered similar brain injuries. Is that what you're saying to me?
Not exactly. And you know, this is I certainly don't ever think of myself as brave.
You should.
It's fine. I don't, actually. I guess because it's been so hard. And yet, I mean, you don't have, like I said, your choice is not, do you go on? It's, how are you going to go on? And that's where we have control. Not what happens, but how we relate to it.
Don't you ever sit back and look at it and say, why me?
No, I have never said that.
The marvelous person you are, then I'm
No, I'm not. But I, you know, I think I'm a slow learner. You know, I think that the universe was giving me lessons for a long time, and I was missing them.
Don't you hate those substitute teachers?
Yes. And so I just think it was that I was a slow learner. So it never occurred to me to say, why me? Well, why not me? I mean, why me? Because I fell asleep driving to work. That's why me.
But you were overly tired, probably because you'd been doing too much work.
Oh, absolutely. But
but you were the educator. I'm going to ask you to come right back. You know, if I'd have said to you, you posed this statement at the beginning of the show. If I'd have asked you who you were, you would have told me you were. You would have answered that by telling me what you did.
Right.
I am now going to ask you, who are you, Deborah?
And I probably still can't answer that fluidly, Eldon. But I can tell you some things I'm not. I am much more raw, I think. My social world was through work. I have been very, very introverted for the last several years. I've had to, like, relearn how to make myself go out the front door. But it forced me to absolutely not look at who I am in any other way than how I relate to myself and to my world and to people. I don't even know how to explain it.
You know, I'll tell you what I think. I'm just going to tell you. This is who you are, Deborah. You are courage, and you are inspiration to everybody that's listening. That's who you are. You are courage, and you are inspiration. Deborah, I want everybody to be able to get a hold of your book.
Oh, my gosh.
In 60 seconds, tell us how we can contact you, where we can go get your book. I want everybody to read this.
Oh, my gosh. My website is www.deborahsanders.com. So it's Deborah at deborahsanders.com. Or you can get the book on Amazon. You can get it any online store, and you can have any of your local bookstores order it. But it's, you know, really, if people want to help me out with this, it's going to Amazon because, in fact, that's how I met you, Eldon, was you sponsored this.
All right. And we want everybody to go to Amazon.
Yeah.
Get the book. And
the
book is called A Matter of Panache.
Right.
By this wonderful woman you've been listening to, who is, once again, courage and inspiration, Deborah Sanders. It's been lovely having you as my guest today. Maybe you can join me again sometime in the future.
I would love to. I am stunned that the hour is over.
Isn't it amazing how time passes when you're having fun?
I'm so surprised, and I wish I could hear all the questions. So people can please write me their questions. I will respond.
Well, and they can go to your website, deborahsanders.com. Sign on there and
Absolutely. Send
you email directly. They can ask you questions.
Absolutely, and I encourage people out there to do that.
Especially those of you who have young people who repeated blows to the head playing football or some other sport. Those of you who have loved ones that have been in the military and more. Go to Deborah. All right. It's been a wonderful show. I have enjoyed you being here today. I want to thank all of you for joining me, and I hope to meet you back here again, same time, same day, next week. Until then, may the winds of life bring you abundant joy and blessings.
Oh.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor, the one show where your mind is the ultimate frontier. Remember to join him again for more riveting guests and thought-provoking discussions every Tuesday at 4 o'clock Pacific Time right here on ContactTalkRadio.com.